You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
I want to turn to the scriptures to Mark chapter 9. Will you join me this morning? Mark chapter 9, verses 14 to 29. You know, this morning it's all about Jesus. It's all about his truth. It's all about his restoration. It's all about his love. It's all about his heart. This morning, it's all about Jesus. And when we see this story, this is what I want you and I to take away from this story. I want us to take away the knowledge of the heart of God, the heart of God that he has towards us, that he has for us, that he has identified us with this incredible love, love of a savior, love of a rescuer, love of a restorer, a deliverer, a redeemer. And that's what I want you to draw this morning. And that's what the Holy Spirit is going to give you, an incredible ability to understand the heart of Jesus through the scriptures this morning. Jesus heals a boy possessed by an impure spirit. Verse 14. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. And when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has your son been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for one who believes." Immediately, the boy's father explained, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked that impure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you to come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. Later, he and his disciples gathered privately in a house, and the disciples said to Jesus, "Why couldn't we cast out that unclean spirit? Why couldn't we see this boy get freedom?" And Jesus said, "That sort of powerful spirit can only be conquered with much prayer and fasting." And I want to go through this story so we can truly comprehend what the Holy Spirit is going to uncover and reveal into our spirits and our minds for our next step on our journey. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do through these 21 days of prayer and fasting. He wants to reveal your next step. He wants to bring revelation, Christ revealed to you, that you can see something today that you have not seen in the scriptures before, that you can hear something today that you have not heard before, because Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, who lives and dwells and resides in with you, wants to speak into your spirit so that you can grasp hold of his word this morning, that you walk out transformed and different this morning. So when they came to the other disciples, this was Jesus, Peter, James, and John. They had come down from the mountain and they came to this crisis and saw a large crowd around them, and they saw the teachers of the law arguing with them in verse 14. And it says in the scripture, as soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. But where did Jesus, Peter, and James and John, what was the position that they had come to this crisis from? And we see it in Mark 9, chapter 2, the transfiguration of Jesus. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up high to a mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured, transformed before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then a cloud, verse 7 says, appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." This is my son. I'm identifying him right in front of your eyes. You're hearing my voice. This is my son whom I love. Listen to him. And this is the same message that the Holy Spirit wants to impart into your spirit this morning. This is my son, Jesus. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the redeemer. He is the restorer. Listen to him. The importance of the position you come from to a moment of crisis will always define the outcome to determine one of failure or one of success. The position that you come from is critical to meet the crisis and the demands of this culture that we live in. And they had just walked into this crisis. And I think we need to recognize the position in which Jesus, Peter, James, and John came from in meeting with the demands of this situation. They had just come down from the mountain where they were high on that mountain and they were in solitude, led by Jesus away from the crowds and the demands of this world that were so dim in comparison with the presence of Almighty God. They experienced something they had never seen before, incredibly hard to perceive by what they knew in the natural, because this was supernatural. And they heard God's audible voice, seeing Jesus completely transformed, his clothes dazzling with white, and there appeared people they had only read and heard about, Elijah and Moses, who were talking to Jesus in a conversation. The point is, Jesus was transformed and identified in the presence of his Father, and the disciples witnessed this. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." The only position we should come from to meet the demands of this world is from his presence. Transformed and identified by our Father into his likeness. A man comes to Jesus and says, "Is it all right to pay taxes to Caesar?" What did Jesus say? "Do you have a coin?" The man said, "Yes." He said, "Give me that coin." He picked up the coin and looked at the man and said, "Give to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar, but give God that which belongs to God." The man should have had a second question. That question was, what belongs to God? He looked at the coin. Whose image? Caesar. Give to Caesar which what belongs to Caesar, but give to God that which belongs to God. The man should have said, what belongs to God? And Jesus would have said, whose image is on you? Surrounded by a large crowd, Peter, James, and John must have been wondering what was going on to cause all this commotion. There was arguments with the teachers of the law. They were looking for failure. There was an incredible atmosphere filled with tension, complications, and opposition. Stress levels and emotions are high. Onlookers are looking for a fight. But then in verse 15, we see in this scripture, then Jesus enters. Then Jesus comes, the bright and morning star, the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon, the Son of God. Jesus comes, and the people in the crowd are so overwhelmed with wonder, they leave everything behind and run to greet Jesus. Jesus disarmed the tension. Fight and flight mode ceased. Arguments of the teachers of the law suddenly lost the focus and attention of the crowd. Disappointment renewed with hope. It was now all about Jesus. What are you arguing with them about? Jesus asked. And a man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who was possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, he gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." Here the account presents the father and his son. Jesus doesn't address the crowd, the teachers of the law, the commotion, the tension, but the father himself. When your position relies on the voice of your father, expect to walk in incredible insight and discernment to keep the focus, the real focus. Then Jesus turns his attention from the problem and looks at the solution right in front of him, his disciples. Verse 19, "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." You see, tone of voice is everything in this passage of scripture. These words of Jesus were not directed at the crowd or the teachers of the law, but to his own disciples. We see a contrast between unbelieving apostles and the passionate devotion of the other three in Peter, James, and John. Are we to perceive that they are slow in grasping what Jesus so desperately needed them to understand? At first glance, it looks like an angry, frustrated statement at Jesus, but as we look more closely, we will not find this. It was pain that we are seeing from Jesus because of the men's faithlessness. Lack of belief, reliance, and trust upon the words Jesus has already spoken. We are seeing personal sorrow, the slowness of spiritual apprehension of his disciples, pain that Jesus had kept down and silent, broke the bounds of his restraint and said, "How long to this unbelief can be transformed? How long can this unbelief, how long? Till it becomes transformed by my words, by my ways, by my leadings, by my guidings, by my direction." The pain of his disciples' faithlessness and lack of desire to be close to him. What is there to be their response to Jesus in their moment? In this moment, can we hear what Jesus is actually saying? Can we feel what he's actually feeling? Do you hear his sternness this morning? Or do we perceive by our spirit his heart? That his intention is for us to perceive something so vital, new, and he's anguished because we are not willing to come close to the access he has given us to see what it is that he is showing us. I remember being in an office and I was in a professional appointment and I was not the professional. And so I come into this appointment and I'm discussing a few things around my family and they're helping my family, and something that the professional says to me is that you're doing it the wrong way. And I said, "Pardon?" You know, in these moments when somebody comes to you in authority or of a professional nature and said that what you're doing is not the right way to go about it, what you're doing right now is the wrong thing to do, there's this battle that happens between our soul realm and our spirit realm. How am I going to receive these words? Am I going to receive them in my mind, my will and emotions and simply become unteachable and say in this moment, "Hang on a minute, you don't know all the details to my situation. Actually, I am doing the right thing." Or in this moment, do I take a pause? Do I take a pause to perceive that maybe some new information is coming into my life and maybe not to give it opportunity to settle in my mind, my feelings, my decisions, my emotions, and maybe let it settle in my heart, opening up my heart wide to receive that maybe something new is coming in to make my world better? And as I sat in this office, I chose to lean in. I chose to move forward and said, okay, if I'm doing it wrong, tell me how to do it the right way. Do you have a teachable spirit? Do you have a heart that opens wide in those moments where you resist the temptation of picking up your mind, your will and emotions and staying in the same cycle and the same position because it's just what you know? The Holy Spirit wants you to perceive new insights, revelation revealed to you. But in order to receive new insight, to perceive what the Holy Spirit is wanting to reveal to you, you must bypass your soul realm and open up your heart large wide and say, Holy Spirit, minister to my spirit, understanding and knowledge. Help me to understand your ways that are so much greater than my ways right now. Help me to perceive the new road that you are taking me on. This is a moment. This is your moment. A choice will have to be made in these moments. Will it be one of reactions from your soul or a heart response from your spirit to his truth? Is my heart open to a new way? Am I teachable in these moments? Is there another way for me to see? In order to see, I have to allow myself to come close to the truth. When Pontius Pilate was dealing with a question of truth, he looked at Jesus in John 18 and said, what is truth? Jesus, what is truth? Then he walked away, not waiting for the answer. Incredible irony, because he had the perfect embodiment of truth standing right in front of him, and he let it walk away. Truth. How do we get to the truth? How do we know what is ultimately the truth? Winston Churchill said these words, truth is the most valuable thing in the world, so valuable that oftentimes it is covered by a bodyguard of lies. We protect the truth so much sometimes because where it takes, we don't really like where it leads. Verse 28 later, and he and his disciples gathered privately in a house, and this was a moment of truth. The question of the disciples, Jesus, why did we fail? Have you found yourself in this place? In areas of finances, God, I tithe. I tithe every week. I believe in the principle of tithing. But when I look at my finances, I'm living day to day. God, why am I failing? My son still has epilepsy, who's 15. Don't think that I haven't had moments of, God, why am I failing? What am I not doing right? I believe your word. I stand upon your word. But why is epilepsy still taking a hold on my son? What's the way, Lord? What's the truth, my God? What's your freedom? When I look at the areas of our mind, when I look at the percentage of anxiety that is gripping people's mind, and you're reading the word of God, but nothing is changing in your mind. And you say to God in this moment, why? Why am I failing? God, what is it that I'm doing wrong? Just show me. Are you ready for that conversation? Are you ready for that moment of truth? Is it going to be a moment of truth for you where you're going to open up your heart wide because there's something new that he has for you to perceive? It's going to be a different road, but it's going to be a road in your wilderness, and it's going to be a stream in your desert, and God will show you the way, because that's who God is. God's word never, ever fails. But sometimes there's a new way that God has to take you on to show you. There's a greater level of understanding that he wants his church, his body, to get, to reveal to other people. Maybe it's your mind. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's the giftings of God that's on your life. My calling in God, God. I know that you called me. I know that you've set me apart. I know that you've consecrated me. But what is it that I'm doing? I had so many dreams and I saw so many visions that you gave to me, but just when? When am I going to walk into those things? I feel so frustrated. I feel like I'm failing in my calling that you have called me to. God, in this moment, why am I failing? And so when I look at the disciples, I look at hearts that are heavy. I look at thoughts that are so confused because this is the same Jesus that has called them and set them apart. They've been seeing miracles. They've been seeing healings. They've been seeing the demonic oppressed be set free. But what's not working in this moment? Is there a greater lesson that maybe Jesus has for them? My thought life, my health, my finances, my calling in God. Is there something new God wants us to perceive? What the disciples were about to perceive is that Jesus was bringing them to their next step. What looks like failure often is a brand new opportunity to grow further, to grow deeper, and at times it will be more than you could ever have imagined God would do in your life. But can we have open hearts? Can we go deeper in our reliance upon Him and position ourselves to trust Him? Can we hear His truth? Can we open our hearts? Can we walk in His ways and devote our entire being to know Him intimately? To know Him intimately. That was the cry of Paul's heart, that I might know you intimately. Why then had the disciples this time so signally failed? Jesus answered quite simply that this kind of cure demanded much prayer and fasting. In effect, he said to them, you don't live close enough to God. They had been equipped with power, but it needed prayer and fasting to maintain it. And there is a deep lesson that still rings true today. God may have given us a gift, but unless we maintain it with close contact with Him, it may wither and die. The disciples had been equipped with power direct from Jesus, but they had not been nurturing that power with prayer, and the power had vanished. Whatever gifts God has given us, when we enrich them by continual contact with God who gave them, we will walk in His ways, His thoughts, and His power. And for us today, it is a continual lifestyle of prayer and fasting to bring our reliance solely and totally on God. The disciples said to Jesus, why couldn't we cast out that unclean spirit? And Jesus said, that sort of powerful spirit, that sort. There are levels. That sort of powerful spirit can only be conquered with much prayer and fasting. What is it that you need to rise up in the strength and the might and the power of the Holy Spirit to see conquered in your life? I know for our family, it's our children. What is it for you today? Is it your health? Is it your finances? Is it your thought life? Is it your calling? Is it somebody close to you that is experiencing those things? This kind only comes out through prayer and fasting. Jesus was hindered by their unbelief, their distance of their hearts, their reliance, their trust in their hearts were not open enough to receive the rich treasure that He was ready to pour out to them. This came from a place of anguish in the heart of Jesus because they could not receive what He so desired to give them. And here He is standing in the midst of the men that He knew best, that understood Him the most, that were the nearest to Him in sympathy, but even they were not ready for all this wealth of affection, all this infinitude of blessing with which His heart is charged. They offered no place to put it. This kind only comes out through prayer and fasting. God never failed the disciples, but he needed them to go deeper than what they had gone before. Jesus healed that boy. Don't think that that condition or that spirit was left to run rein. Jesus healed that boy and set him free from demonic oppression, but that was not the lesson or the outcome for the disciples that day. The outcome was the lesson of going deeper. The outcome of the lesson today for prayer and fasting is that God is calling his church to go deeper because there are stubborn issues that we are not seeing set free. Don't you want the testimonies? Don't you want your heart so filled with what charges the heart of Jesus that your heart is so open that all it is flowing like living water pouring into your spirit? That every time you come to the demands of this world, you move in power and authority like you've been promised and called to do so. Is this your calling? Yes. Is this your rights? Yes. It comes from your position of who you are in God. You are more than overcomers this morning. Jesus knew his time was soon, and it was this group of men, his disciples, that would carry the work of the ministry on, but they had to possess the real truth. Listen to my son, were the words of the Father. This kind only comes out through prayer and fasting. And when I'm gone, you will need to pray and fast to move and minister with greater power and greater authority. And it is my promise to you to have dominion over the enemy, to have authority over epilepsy, to have authority over disease. That is our rights as the church. And as Christians, this truth still stands today for you and I through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have not been left alone. The Holy Spirit and resurrection power lives and dwells and resides within you. It's not based on your works. It's not based on what you can do. But if you will allow your heart to be arrested by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will move in greater levels than you could have imagined. Is that your desire this morning? Is that your desire this morning? You are the church. You are his living, breathing apostles on the earth today. The Holy Spirit is living through you. Isaiah 55, verses 8 to 9, probably one of my most cherished verses that I just wear in my heart, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 43:19, I am doing something brand new. You need to understand that in this time of prayer and fasting, God is about to do something new. I am doing something brand new. I'm going to remove stubborn issues that you haven't seen set free before. If you take my invitation, if you come close to me, if you open up your heart to me, you will go deeper and you will move in a greater authority, but you will perceive something brand new. It's unheard of. It's not unheard of to God, but it's unheard of to you. Getting passionate now, aren't I? Even now it sprouts and grows and matures. You know why I'm passionate? Because I'm sick of living with epilepsy. What are you tired of living with? I'm doing something brand new, something unheard of. Even now it sprouts and grows and matures. Don't you perceive it? I want to, God. Help me to understand, Holy Spirit, you are the one who reveals the Father heart to me. Just as Jesus went to the Father, I go to the Holy Spirit. You will show me, you will help me to perceive, you will open my ears. My ears have been designed to hear the voice of my Father. Don't you perceive it? Yes, we do. I will make a way in the wilderness and open up flowing streams in the desert. There are degrees of spiritual and moral evil so intense and malignant that they cannot be broken but nothing but by prayer and fasting. Jesus knew this. That's why his total reliance, his absolute trust, his time, his dependence was on his Father. John 5:19, Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. John 12:49, for I'm not speaking as someone who is self-appointed, but I speak by the authority. I speak by the authority of the Father himself, who sent me. You are sent by the Father to meet the demands of this culture, and the power of the Holy Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is living and breathing inside of you. He instructed me what to say. Jesus never went on his own accord. He was saying to the disciples, my total reliance, my total trust, my adherence is on my Father. I could step outside on my own authority, but I've submitted my authority. I've submitted my ways because I know my Heavenly Father, and he's made a way where no one else can make a way. Jesus heard. Jesus saw. And Jesus was shown exactly the way to do it. And that's the same for you and I today. That's the good news. We are his church. We are beautiful, but we are powerful. And I think for some of us, we need to realize how powerful God has actually made us to meet the demands of this world. This morning, I want us to commit ourselves as the church to this fast. Holy Spirit, we come into this 21 days of prayer and fasting, and we are committed, not a check-off list. It's about going deeper. It's about going deeper. It's about going deeper. It's about giving him your time. It's about inclining your ear. It's about surrendering your eyesight to only him. I'm going to come away from the distractions of the demand of my culture, and I'm going to come up to the mountainside with you, and I'm going to see you transformed, because you will. You're going to hear your Father speaking to you, because you will. Because that's what you can expect by going deeper in God. Will we let him pour his love into us? Will you? Will you let him? Will you let him? Will you let Jesus pour his heart into yours? Will you open it up wide and receive it? Let it bypass. Let it bypass the natural. Let it enter to your spirit and say, Jesus, I'm going to respond to you because you want me to perceive something new. Can you stand in this place this morning? What is Jesus saying to us today? This is what I heard. Come close to me. Come close to me. That's an invitation. That's an open door. That's an open road. Will you come close to me? Come close to me. What's your answer this morning? In this moment, it's not a moment with me, it's a moment between you and the lover of your soul, the one who has identified you and made you. Your life, your heart, your mind, your eyesight belongs to God. Come close to me, he says to us today. Because you have been called my church. You have been called my people. set apart, anointed to see something new, to live so closely to God, to walk in incredible power and authority. You are being called. You are invited to come deeper. And I close with Philippians 3:10. For my determined purpose is that I may know Him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in the same way come to know the power outflowing from His resurrection. You have problems that need to be solved, challenges that need to be addressed in 2020, tension to manage, problems that are opportunities in disguise this year through continual times of prayer and fasting. Freedom and deliverance will come and be seen by you. But Jesus took him by the hand, this young boy that everybody thought was dead, Jesus took him by the hand and lifted this young boy to his feet, and he stood up on his feet. Who have you been assigned to this year? I know my assignment. Who have you been assigned to this year? Who has God laid upon your heart and your mind? Because these are the things that He's calling you deeper so that you may see and perceive what needs to be healed, what needs to be transformed, what needs to be set free. Who have you been assigned to this year to take by the hand and lift them to their feet to see stand up? Is it your son? Is it your daughter? Is it your family member? Is it your workplace? Is it your business? Is it your thought life that's struggling? Is it your finances? God wants to stand it on its feet this year for you to be transformed, hearing clearly how you have been identified by God, and the road in the wilderness and the stream in the desert shall be your portion this year. What is Jesus saying to us through this time of prayer and fasting? Listen to my son. Come close to God. We're going to come into a time of worship. Just as the worship team plays, let this be a moment for you. Listen to my son. Your father wants to speak to you. He wants to reveal great insight and revelation and knowledge. He wants to show you who your assignment is this year, to see that you can take by the hand, stand them on the feet, and them to be set free. You hold that power and authority because of Jesus, who lives and dwells and resides within you. Listen to my son. Come close to God. Take this moment. Holy Spirit, I pray for every single person here. Holy Spirit, our thought lives, we present it to you right now. You said, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. Do not be anxious for anything, but by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. God, this is my moment. I feel like I'm failing. I make my request known to you. Speak, for your servant is listening. Whatever I need to change, God, the entanglements that are trying to ensnare me and trip me up, I'll throw them aside if I can just have freedom with you. That's His promise. Healing is your portion. Miracles is your destiny. Restoration is your inheritance. Your calling is yes and amen. You are powerful. You are wonderfully and fearfully made. Jesus Christ, the Savior, Son of God, made a way for you and me to live differently, transformed by the renewing of our mind. He's got a promise for you this morning. And in this moment, it's your time to have that conversation with God. And you're going to hear, and you're going to see, and you're going to experience the love of a father.